listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live from Las Vegas, live on a Friday. And it looks like medical news back leading off, or at least an important part of the show. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Steve Fezzik in studio. One of the pros who knows. He's like a chest workout. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You don't want to do more than that. But if you don't do it that much, you're missing out on your, at least your pecs aren't as big. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans to know more than their buddies. Now, we're the pros. Jonas, he's a Joe. He's in Los Angeles. Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we have an all-pro trade request in the NFL, we still await word on what or if a Major League Baseball season will be upon us soon. But what is the Vegas lead here on a Friday?
Unfortunately, I think we've got to go with COVID-19. And in my opinion, one of the best in the business, Jonas, you, when it comes to understanding, seeing the news come in, and really cutting to the heart of it. So I'm going to give you carte blanche. I think we'll probably touch on UCLA, but we'll go through the subjects in the order and at the pace that you suggest.
Yeah, I think it's just all around the world of sports. As players start to get back to facilities and they do more testing, you are seeing more and more positive cases that are coming up. Ezekiel Elliott, a member of the Dallas Cowboys, that happened earlier this week. You also had the Houston Texans, who had a couple of players test positive. The Philadelphia Phillies have had 5 players test positive, according to several reports. So when you see this in the NFL, Major League Baseball, and in college football, there is growing concern about the return to play.
Okay, so here's my first thought on this. And again, not a medical doctor. I mean, my mom wanted that or a lawyer, but here we are. And the question that jumps out at me is this. Is this abnormal? As in, is this unexpected? Now, obviously, it's abnormal compared to a typical year, right? There was no COVID-19, no COVID-18. But could it have been, should it have been, has it been expected? My gut feeling is yes. Now, when I say expected, what do I mean? I mean, what was the point of the lockdown, of shutting the country down, however you want to describe it, with people, social distancing and even beyond that, right? And quarantine. The point of it was less contact. And billions of dollars, hundreds of billions were lost in order to diminish or decrease the amount of contact. And that was a decision, lives versus dollars. And obviously the president, the Congress makes those decisions. Each state governor has a say in the state, or has total say really in the state. And each state did it differently. But what we know is in the last couple weeks, pretty much everyone, California included, who was lagging in a way, opened up more. Now, COVID or coronavirus did not disappear. So the theory was, okay, as people go out and get exposed to other people, the odds of you coming in contact with someone who has the virus and is potentially contagious is going to go up. And thus the number of cases would go up. If that's the measure, the number of cases have gone up, then I think for sure we knew that was going to happen. Has it gone up more than expected? And if so, what does that mean is the first question. And number two, have these professional athletes gotten it more, been infected at a higher rate percentage-wise than you would expect. Because part of me thinks maybe they are because they're so bold, they're so, you know, not really scared. And maybe, you know, we saw with Dak and his party, maybe we're seeing something we hadn't contemplated, which is athletes would get this more often. So to me, this is kind of painted my first pass around it all, Jonas, and then we'll go to Fez. What do you think? Do you got any facts to fill in with my questions or further thoughts?
No, I just have like further thoughts on it. As far as the facts on coronavirus, I'm still not sure on the facts. We've been told, okay, wear masks, don't wear masks. We've been told you go to certain places, but don't go to others. Like, so I'm still not totally certain on all the facts that come with coronavirus. I'm just not surprised that more people are testing positive because I think it's a numbers game. The more people you test, the more positive results you're going to get. I just don't think that means that you shut everything down, personally.
Yeah, and I don't think in any way, I mean, any reasonable group, and listen, let's just take it from the administration, is Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said, he was the fellow that his wife had the black leather glove at Fort Knox and was holding up the money. I mean, I guess if you're the Treasury Secretary, you know, you sign the money, you get to do that, but it wasn't a great Instagram pic. But the reality is, from his mouth, it doesn't really matter what happens medically. The country can't get shut down again. And now, obviously, if it becomes a Planet of the Apes type thing, you know, where everyone's dying, you're going to reconsider. But in general, what we know about, again, like you said, there's been an evolution of what we know. But I think it's almost impossible to imagine the country is going to get shut down again. Now, what about leagues? Now, I would play devil's advocate here and say this is probably good timing because with the incubation period and then the time that the illness occurs is what, 7, 8, 9 days is what I've heard, is 7, 8, 9 days from now, everyone that has been tested positive is going to be through it, hopefully, and there will be a sense of, if I'm right, okay, yeah, that wasn't good. We hope no one else gets it, but it came and it went and we're fine. Now, obviously, it's possible it would go another way, and then we got to deal with that. But if somehow there wasn't an outbreak in sports and then there was 10 days before, let's say July 20th, right before the NBA, now it might say we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe we shut this thing down. It feels like, yeah, it would have been better that no athletes got it. I don't think that was reasonable. And thus, if they're going to be an outbreak, or not even an outbreak, but just multiple instances, isn't it better now so we can at least see it resolve itself, hopefully, instead of mess with the season? Jonas first, does that resonate with you?
Yeah, and I just think I personally look at this, because again, a lot of the facts we're not totally certain of. I've heard the same 7 to 10 day number, and then I've heard 2 weeks. So there's been some varying degrees as to how long it takes before you're over it and then you're back to normal. But I look at this like any player that would be scared to get hurt. If you're scared of getting hurt, that's a bad way to go into things. You've got to go in there, and injuries are a part of the game. I think returning to play, returning to society is just part of the deal that comes along going with this. And there's going to be risks, and people are going to test positive. But I just think to be scared of it and to shut things down, that's where I'm really hung up on when people talk about that.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, listen, it's a lot easier to live life in hindsight, right? The old 2020. And I agree with you, is the medical best practices at any given time have evolved. Now, what the medical people or the scientific people would say is, well, that's how it works, right? We get new information. Just like if you have Kings, and this is a good time to segue to Fez, Steve Fezzik, part of Straight Out of Vegas. You got Kings, and the flop comes Queen 7-3. You're feeling pretty good. Here comes the turn. Uh-oh, aces, or an ace is out. All of a sudden, you reevaluate. So the thing, and I've talked about this before, so I'll keep it succinct. The thing is, if you make science out to be like it's coming from the mountaintop in the Ten Commandments, then the Ten Commandments haven't changed, right? Since Moses brought them down. So I think you can say, just like a professional batter is going to be the best NFL predictor, let's say, but he's going to get it right. If he's good, 55% of the time, he's going to lose 45%. If he won 60%, better than he thought, and people were like, I can't believe you're losing 40, they just don't get it. So I think scientific consensus at any given time is probably the best estimate of the future, but it's not as good as some people want to make it out to be oftentimes, and I think that's where the backlash comes from. And Jonas, you're about as reasonable guy as I know. If they would have said, hey, listen, we can't predict all this, but we think this, blah, 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 and then they were wrong about some of them, you would have said, yeah, of course they were.
Yeah.
But it feels like the fact that it's supposed to be law, and then the next day it's something different, and that's supposed to be law, that's what I think people object to.
Yeah, I think even like Anthony Fauci, who's somebody that's pretty well respected by a lot of people, early on, it was, you know, listen to what he says, listen to what he says. And there's even been times where he's walked back things that he said before. So it makes it hard to take every piece of information as gospel when you know that there are events that have taken place over the last couple of months that have turned out to not be true, statements that have been not true. And so you're hearing these people about, you know, you got to wear masks. And then Anthony Fauci comes out yesterday and says, we don't need another lockdown of the country. But then why do you want to put the NFL in a bubble? There's just some inconsistencies that I find a little troubling.
I got to be honest. I hear in your voice that having them gym shut down in California so long, you snapped. I mean, your opinion's different now than it was. I mean, you are more critical right now than I've ever heard you.
I'm just more confident because I've been using hand sanitizer for years and years. Now everybody's on my level, so I feel safer.
All right, Steve Fezzik, you with us?
I am with you, RJ. You know, pursuant to what you were saying with the cases going up, they're really going up in hotspots, certain states, and I'm with you. I think in some ways this is an opportunity to take a look at what's going on in Texas and Florida. That's where a lot of these cases have been reported. That's where the Phillies and Toronto have been training, along with the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's where baseball and hockey has had an issue, and then certainly in Texas, as Jonas mentioned. And now it's the middle of June. Let's see how we can handle these positive tests and move forward. And it was, I think we had to expect this, right? With more cases throughout that state, certainly some pro players were going to test positive.
Yeah, and we had this on our podcast that we do once a week. And remember, you can get this show on podcast. Just search RJ Bell. You see Straight Out of Vegas. And also you're going to see the Dream Preview, which we do deep dives, handicapping. And Fez, you initially were like, wow, look at these numbers. There was 4,000, I think the number was, in Texas, and the highest before that had been 3,500 or something. Is that generally right, the numbers?
Yes.
The cases, and in a given week, I think. And my, you know, just, you know, gas station attendant logic, you know, no expertise in the medical field, but the idea that, hey, if you open up and have, you know, Jonas was talking about the numbers game of testing, and I think that was the case when they went from not a ton of testing to a lot more testing, that all of a sudden you're not going to get diagnosed if you're not tested. So the more people you test, that's the denominator. Whatever the ratio is, you're going to have more people that ends up, you know, being tested positive. I think now it's more about, okay, the testing's in place and how many people are being exposed. You know, what is happening today that we spent billions of dollars to avoid happening in the past. Not saying that was a bad decision. I don't know enough about it to know. My gut feeling is that the states should have rolled this out at their own pace, that some states were weeks behind New York. Other states were, you know, even more behind. In general, I think that the states should have shut down as the virus started picking up in their state, where it felt like it was more of a national thing. And I get it, right? If it's life and death and you're a governor, you want to be conservative or you want to be risk averse. But that's the one thing I'd point in hindsight and say that I think each state could have been shut down for 6 weeks and it probably would have been enough looking at because really, if you look at the numbers, a lot of states were shut down for weeks and weeks when they didn't really have any or hardly any cases yet because of the way it spread, you know, out of New York. Because why? Because so many flights coming in from Asia and Europe. So it makes sense. RJ Bell, Straight Out of Vegas. So Fez, last question on this specific topic. As you've looked at the numbers, you're, you know, you were a professional actuary, graduated from not a great school, but Northwestern. You spent till almost 40 years old as an actuary. As you look at the numbers, do you believe that the increased exposure and these numbers correspond, or do you feel like that it's truly a spike that's beyond what you'd expect?
I think it's expected. If you look at countrywide, RJ, the number of cases is barely going up. The deaths are still flat. So we've opened up the country. It's not a disaster. It's just an expectation based upon more people getting out and about.
And you're talking about, obviously, what's happened. We're not talking about the whole COVID thing, but rather what's happened in the last week or so. And as the country has opened up and the states have opened up. All right,
yes.
So let's do this. Let's take our break. When we come back, there's some sports stories related. UCLA, player empowerment. I told you it might be going overboard. We'll look at this and see if it is. And player empowerment run amok the baseball players.
That's coming up next. But first, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get into the growing concern around the world of sports when it comes to the coronavirus.
Oh, my gosh, Jonas. I don't know if anything we've talked about has gotten at least as much people fired up as my take on baseball, which we're going to have coming up, and just being hard on both parties. But I think in this case, the winner of the negotiation so far, the players have pushed it so hard that, you know, the fans are seemingly going to suffer over it, meaning we don't know exactly what the season is going to be. But I've got like a bunch of people saying, give him hell, give him hell. And others are saying, RJ, I'm so disappointed in you. So we're going to have to go over it once again slowly. But remember, when Jonas is on the hardcore side, it means it's not that hardcore, because he's, again, I'm not talking private now. I'm talking on in media. This guy is, I mean, you're pretty much down the middle, I'd say, right? I mean, like, you're the opposite of Rob Parker, for example.
Yeah, well, his hot takes. I mean, Tom Brady could win another Super Bowl, and he would still rip Tom Brady. I mean, when he's into something, he is into it, and he will not move off it.
But look, he's got 3 hours.
I know.
On Fox, so maybe there's a hint there, man.
Maybe
there's a hint, Jonas. You know what we should do? Honestly, once a week, you've got to have a, you know, I wouldn't say this, but kind of hot take that you actually believe. But you'd be apprehensive to say it, but you're feeling freed by me giving you permit. Like, we'll set it up where it's like, you know, Bill Simmons used to have, it was called Half-Baked Ideas. So they used to have a podcast like twice a year that was like, these ideas aren't really that good, but there's a kernel of an idea in there that if we talk it through, maybe we're going to find it. Most of the time they didn't, but they excused it beforehand by saying, hey, it's half-baked. We can say like a half-baked hot take.
Yeah, we'll preface everything.
Yeah, like, but this is you now, and I think once a week. So
yeah,
get on it.
Yeah,
great day
to
join us, guys. This is the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Audience has more than doubled. You have so much to do with that, and we thank you so much. Right now in Las Vegas, oh, by the way, you can listen. We mentioned it once. Let's mention it again. Podcast, just search RJ Bell, Straight Out of Vegas. Weekend's a good time to catch up. A lot of evergreen content that hasn't gone stale. In fact, nothing's really going stale because there's no games. So check out the podcast in Vegas right now, 98 degrees and on the Strip. The neon is surging.
So, RJ, some news out of the world of college sports, where this document obtained by ESPN but was first reported by the Los Angeles Times says that 30 current players and one former player signed a document asking that third-party health officials be put in charge of overseeing and enforcing health and safety guidelines, and that the guidelines are clearly and publicly stated, that coming from the UCLA Bruins campus.
Now, do you get a sense that UCLA believes that their support system for this kind of thing, what the administration would do, what the coaching staff would do, is especially bad? Or is this a matter of UCLA just being, you know, smart kids, it's a good school, and California, which is, you know, oftentimes, you know, empowerment against the system, and that that is what's driving them being more outward or formal about this? Or is it more that UCLA's just screwing things up, they think?
Yeah, I don't know just how it pertains to UCLA. I think this is more of players feeling the ability to speak out more on certain issues over the past couple of weeks. And if they feel like, look, you know, we're not returning until we know some things are covered on the back end that's going to protect us, then we just don't feel comfortable in doing so. And so the fact that they rallied 30 players and put this together and it's been now out there to the public, I think just shows that they've got some concerns, but they feel the confidence to speak out on it.
And RJ, I think they've got concerns about UCLA in general. In that document, they're citing such things as the university has failed us, neglected and mismanaged things. I think there's a lack of trust with Chip Kelly and his program. This is not just about COVID.
So is this is just football players?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Boy, at Chip Kelly's an interesting point, because obviously they haven't won as many games as you would expect, hiring a guy that, you know, let's be candid, took Oregon from not much to national championship game, right? And multiple, twice, right? Against Auburn and I remember that, right? And Ohio State.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think in hindsight, his time in Philadelphia in the NFL, Chip Kelly, was more of a success than people realize, right? He won 10 games. Then he had a down third year, but for not having at the time pre-Wentz, not having a franchise quarterback, and Nick Foles, you know, which again, other than the playoff run, was, you know, this guy's not even an average starter historically in the NFL. That's why he hasn't started very much during the regular season. What was those stats, Fez? I remember it was like 30 touchdowns and 3 interceptions or something. I mean, it was one of the great seasons when it comes to that ratio ever that Nick Foles had under Chip Kelly, right?
Yeah, absolutely, RJ.
Okay, you might want to look that up real quick. We'll get the exact number. So to me, I don't know how Chip Kelly's rep has taken a hit. Maybe some of it's just on, like, seeing in operation. The players are looking, saying, this guy's not really on it. But, I mean, what would they really know? Meaning, if you've only been on one team, how do you even know what's normal and what's good and what's bad, right? It's like the first time you ever go to a gym, Jonas, a public gym, you don't know if the showers are necessarily good or bad, right? compared to other gyms, right?
Right.
You know how it is compared to your house, but so it strikes me, listen, this might seem unfair, but Josh Rosen went to UCLA. It seems like they attract a special type of millennial at this point. And in a way, unless Chip Kelly is doing something egregious, you got to wonder if he's pretty much doing what everyone else is doing. And this is a combination of UCLA's players being of a certain bent. And quite frankly, some of it you would feel good about. The fact that they feel like they can speak up, right? Obviously, there's a fine line between that and complaining too much. But you'd want them to be able to speak up if something's really wrong. I just can't imagine they're the worst school. What I'm pretty sure of, it's not the worst school in the country right now. So, but Jonas, I want to get your thoughts. But I also think this could be a matter of, once you're mad about something, an arrangement, you're going to find a reason to be mad. Everything that changes, whatever comes at you, if it rains, you're going to be mad. If it doesn't rain, you're going to be mad. And the players are not happy with the NCAA. They're not happy, and they're figuring it's bad enough to play and not get paid. Now we're going to play and risk our lives not to get paid. I kind of see the point.
Yeah, here's the problem with when you have people that maybe aren't used to, you know, getting out a message. Sometimes it can get lost, and maybe the message doesn't come across as originally intended, because Dorian Thompson Robinson, who's a quarterback for UCLA, he then followed up a tweet in regards to the LA Times tweet that said, "Nobody said they didn't trust Coach Kelly. Don't turn this into a feeding frenzy on Coach." And then wrote a little while later, Would also like to state that Coach Kelly agrees with all of the demands on this letter and is working to get them in place. As the player whose face is on the cover of the article, I apologize to Coach as I was unaware the letter would be given to the media for them to mislead. So this is the problem. When you get so many cooks in the kitchen, the message gets a little skewed and it's hard to keep track of things.
Very well said. I also think, though, it speaks amazingly to how baseball, usually the same problem with players in a negotiation, have had a united front, and look how powerful it's been. And I mean, really, if the as much as I've been against it from a fan's perspective, if you're looking at just the transaction, just the negotiation, they've been amazingly effective.
Yeah.
I'm RJ Bowe, straight out of Vegas. Now, our producer, a TV guy, Matt, we call him Hollywood Matt. Where did you go to school, Matt?
Undergrad. UCLA.
Okay.
UCLA.
Yeah. Then Jonas, he went to Columbia graduate school. Ivy League, baby. You know, if I didn't go to the Ivy League, so I might as well hire him, right? I figure that's a good deal. It's like, Mom, you know, I didn't go, but how would you say, now you've been around the blog, you're early 40s, is What and again, different era, obviously. How is UCLA different than a typical school, you think? When it comes to things like this.
We get a lot of free thinkers out of UCLA. Let's not forget
glorifying
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So it's a little more
liberal,
a little more self-empowerment oriented.
All right, so you're saying is amongst the schools out there at the top of the heap, you know, maybe not number one, but in that top tier, UCLA is going to be the type, if they think there's a problem, they're going to do something about it.
Correct, yes.
So not only empowered, but activists in a way.
In a way, yes.
Okay. Anything else about UCLA we should know?
The alumni are a little frustrated with the football program right now.
Yeah, maybe Chip Kelly's got bigger, not bigger than COVID, but maybe bigger than the latter. So Fez, last closing thought on this, anything?
Yeah, just the numbers on Foles, 27 touchdowns, two interceptions back in 2013. Chip Kelly turned Foles into a top elite quarterback.
27-2. Wowza. So generally, Jonas, I think wrapping up the COVID stuff, unless you think we got anything else, is obviously we wish no one gets it. But I think that when it comes to will NBA be suspended, will baseball maybe not be able to play even if they could come to an agreement, it's possible if things go a direction we can't foresee. But if anything, a lot of people have gotten this. A lot of people have recovered. And a big percentage, I mean, 99, I think it's 99 plus, amongst young people have recovered. So in theory, this should be fine. We wish for the best. And if it is, I do think getting out of the way now is probably a good thing. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and I just think that we're going to enter into a world that's going to be so much more clean than it was before. Let me tell you something. It was a sight for sore eyes when I was walking around a shopping mall, an outdoor shopping mall, and I saw hand sanitizer stations lined up around the place. I mean, that's my Playboy Mansion.
But let me ask you. Well, that took a left turn there. let me ask you a question, though. I'm going to give you an example. There was a movie called Ghost World. It's a very good Steve Buscemi's in it. It was an arty movie, but it was like a good arty. You know, it wasn't too obscure, but it was one of the first roles of Scarlett Johansson. And she was like maybe 18 at the time. And, you know, this movie was like 20 years ago. So, you know, age appropriate. And I, And I just loved the movie, and I was a fan of ScarJo, who was not known as that at the time. Then as time went on, I felt like that was a special thing we had. Then as time, I mean, unbeknownst to her, but yeah, is as time went on and everyone became a fan of Scarlett Johansson, it kind of soured me on her.
Yeah.
Not through any fault of hers. It wasn't a tiny club anymore. So do you feel like that everyone being like a germaphobe, like you've been all along, even when there was no reason, does it make it where you feel like something has made you special, you're not just one of the gang?
Nah, I think people recognize who the Godfather was.
who the real pioneer, you know, yeah. Adam Carolla, pioneer in podcasts, Joe Rogan, is when it comes to obsessive OCD, like washing of your hands, Jonas Knox and Howard Stern, actually, right?
I mean, I'm telling you, like you ask anybody at the Fox Sports Radio studios, who was doing it years before anybody else?
Jack Nicholson and good as you can get. I mean, you know, there is that pantheon, and you're on it, no doubt. I'm going to get out my megaphone and tell you how bad the baseball players have been.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. You can always check out the show on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Jonas, you've seen in front of your own eyes me predict so many things. I mean, let's be candid.
Yes.
I think my statement about when it's not Dan Beyer, and it's, you know, so Dan's the steady news guy, Mr. Dan Beyer, as I like to call him, that the length of the update tends to go up. So here's, and I mean, and I've got to be honest, I mean, I like Steve a good bit. I thought he read that, you know, that was an amazing presentation. I mean, he was on it. But it was like, oh my gosh, there's hard, you know, like there's no games going on, but it was like 3 minutes. So here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to have one of my admin literally tape Dan just, you know, how long it takes, maybe, or time is the right way to say it. Maybe 10 days, right? 10 random days. So we get that number right. And then we're going to do everyone else. And at the end of the year, if you didn't hear this now, we're never going to mention it again. But right before Christmas, we're going to come out with the numbers. Do you think it's going to – would you want to bet Dan's longer or other than Dan's longer?
Guys, the other anchors have talked about it, and you're right about it.
Excuse me, sir.
But also –
sir, you had enough time.
The later that the host goes to the anchor, the longer the time tends to be.
That seems like it should be the opposite. But so somehow you're saying you're trying to train me – to be
to
like everyone
clock,
else.
Yes.
To just be like everyone else is what you're saying. Just more of the same, baby. That's not Straight out of Vegas, Steve. Hey, I love it. The funny thing is when he came in, it's like he hit the mic with his head. I mean, you heard it go boom, and it's like he was like really wanting to get in there.
I wonder, with Steve DeSager.
Yeah, I wonder how many news guys don't want to be hosts. Like, are they? Do they all want their own show? I mean, I've never been around them. Do you think they all want their own show?
I don't know. Steve's great. Steve's my guy. I love Steve.
They're all great. I would love you to say someone isn't great once.
I was pretty bad at updates. I'll be honest.
Oh my God, Jonas! Jonas, wait, I'll throw it back to you. Like with 12 seconds left, you got a 10-minute or 10-second commercial to read. You'll read it, not miss a word, and hit the post as they say on the way out. Come on, self-deprecation doesn't do it.
Yeah, I was not very good.
But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to test that. Next time Steve's in, I'll get it to him at 27, and we'll see what happens. Right. And by the way, if this was true, like I really had a problem with Steve, I wouldn't say it, so at least publicly. So we're having fun with Steve, but I'm enjoying it. But I still think they do go longer. So let's do this. Take our last break. When we come back, we're going to talk baseball. We're also going to give you a little bit on the Belmont Stakes running Saturday. And also, Kevin Durant doesn't have the strength or ability to play, but he's in a feud.
That's coming up next. But first, Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. So, RJ, we are still waiting for Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association to come to some sort of an agreement. But it was you who really drawed some controversy and some reaction after your criticism of some of the players yesterday.
Well, and none of the players individually, but collectively, yes. And, to me, it's very important to understand that there's two games going on here. One game is there's a negotiation, and it's a zero-sum game to some degree, meaning that there's an amount of money, and it's going to be divvied up. It's going to be whacked up. How much am I getting? How much is the other person getting? And typically, that's a pretty simple game, is whatever your leverage is, whatever your willingness to play chicken with whatever, and then your skill as a negotiator. But it gets more complicated when there's other elements outside of that narrow sense. And what are those elements? The fans. All that money, all those billions, 10, 11 billion last year revenue for baseball, are because of the fans. Fans go away, all the money goes away. And I believe, and it's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason, is you can win the battle and lose the war. And it feels like to me that regardless of how much extra the players get out of this, within reason, obviously there's only a reasonable amount they could get, is we estimated it's about 2% of 1 year's amount of money. So what are they going to get? All 2% of it, or 1.5%, and the other, you know, owners get a half? Whatever that is, it's a modest amount. If just 2% of the fans say enough of this, I'm done, that revenue is next year, yeah, but the year after, all of a sudden the 2% is going to be 10x, 20x, not to mention if there's more than that. So I respect the negotiation, the strength. I don't respect the seeming disregard for the fans. And I'm not saying the owners haven't historically been bad and done things that were egregious or just as bad, but we're talking about today. We're talking about present day. We're talking about COVID-19. We're talking about the chance that they could have been baseball front and center the month of July. It could have been the first time in decades that baseball was the number one topic of conversation in the sports world over weeks and weeks and weeks. It just never is, even during the World Series. And they let all that go out of some, I feels like, resentment from the past. The players feel like they've got now finally the power and they're going to use it no matter what. Man, why not use it next year? Jonas, I mean, do you think that's a fair criticism?
Yeah, I think they've blown it. I think the opportunity to have the season start on 4th of July would have been such, especially this year with everything going on.
Apple pie.
Yeah, it's just, it would have fit so perfectly. And even people who are baseball diehards, Rob Parker, who's one of them, he's at the point to where he's so critical of everything that's going on, and he loves the sport. He's covered the sports for decades and decades, but he sees it as just such a lost opportunity to put your faces of the game on center stage with no other competition around, and I think they blew it.
And I also think that it's important to realize that the insiders, the ESPN guys, the FS1 guys, didn't expect this. So the amount of resentment, the amount of just how this is broken down is something that even the insiders didn't know about. Hey, one quick thing on the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, out of order of the Triple Crown. Here's the main thing. The race usually is a mile and a half, which is a very, very long race. It's not. It's a mile, I think, in an eighth this year, but it's significantly less length. And remember, that plus it was the third Triple Crown race after the first two, all in a five-week period, made the Belmont special. You can't apply those same kind of concepts or handicapping this year. Otherwise, though, it's great to have it going on, Jonas. Good week. We'll be back next week.
Absolutely. And if you missed any of today's show, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas. We will be back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And as always, you can check out the show on the iHeart Radio app.
Straight out of Vegas!